Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is going on for the week ahead in the stars above us, but also through human design, as that fills in important information for us about how the energies might reveal themselves to us during the week. And it is quite the week ahead. I was having trouble deciding what is it that I really want to focus on, because there's so much in this particular week, or at least a lot that could cause me to go down a deep dive. Yeah, we want to go down to the deep dive, don't we? So today we're going to be talking about several things. And a lot of these things are going to be tricky because they have such a high side and such a not so high side. So it's important for everybody to sort of pay attention. And this is one of those mornings where you might definitely, might and definitely want to have your own human design chart and your own astrology chart with you, right? As I always say to people, coming to this show is like, you know, coming to a lesson in you, and learning about you requires you to have your own information in front of you. So I always, you know, tell people, have your astrology chart, have your human design chart handy, so that you can follow along in how these things might affect you personally. Good morning, Tom. Nope, not a new top. Actually, I've worn this quite a bit because it's so comfy. It's like so soft. It's, you know, very soft and comfy. It just looks different because it's so dark in my room this morning that now it's like, it's light pink, but it just makes me stand out. And I thought it was going to be a nice day. I was hoping. We'll see. Good morning, Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel, and good morning, Christine Buckingham, and good morning, Kajella. And I'm sure there are others of you out there that are unseen to me, but welcome. And we love having you here with us this morning. So here's how we're going to work this today. We're going to talk a little bit about quite a bit actually, about the moon in Scorpio, as this energy of Scorpio that is ruled by both Mars and Pluto is taking center stage this week, as the major planets involved with the week happen to be Mars and Pluto, big surprise, and also Mercury and Uranus. So those are the four energies or planets that we want to pay attention to. And then as well, we're going to take a look ahead at what are some of the other things in the week, just in general terms. And then I want to talk more fully about the Sun conjunct Pluto, which is occurring at the same day on the 18th when Mercury turns direct. And how does all of that affect us, especially since the Sun and Pluto are both in Capricorn in their conjunction and Mercury is turning direct also in Capricorn. So it really spices up or energizes the Capricorn part of our charts, or the Capricorn area of your life. And then I want to talk about the human design placements this week, because there is a very important change going on with both Jupiter and Saturn. And then as well, the energy for the Sun and the Earth changes into a place that I think is very worthy of all of our attention, as this is literally going to be the last full week before we end up with the human design new year, which occurs on the 22nd on Sunday, at the same time Uranus is turning direct. These things are kind of stacked, right, to kind of make us feel like or recognize when we are in change, right? And this is all about changes. So hold on to your hats. Let's first talk about then the moon in Scorpio today. The moon actually moved into Scorpio later yesterday afternoon, or actually I think it was in the morning, but this morning finds herself in an opposition to Uranus. At least as I pulled the chart this morning, that was a building aspect. And at this point, I would say it's probably exact, if not just a little beyond. And that brings in the possibility for revelations or for an awakening of some sort. Now, the moon is the great mother. And in our charts, or as she transits, she really kind of shows us where it is that we have needs that need to be fulfilled. And one way to look at that is that it's also something that is internalized, right? It's not that we see it very easily outside of us. It's more of a feeling from within us about what might needs to be changed or what it is that we need to fulfill us, or, you know, what it is that we need in order to feel good enough about ourselves to take our livelihood out into the world. So when we have the moon in Scorpio, then we're often looking through the darker lenses, right? We're looking through the depth, if you will, of ourselves and of where it is that we might need to go through some of self-reflection and through some processing of our emotions and what we're feeling. So we also later in the day have a square from the moon to Venus, and then a trine to Neptune, and then a square to Saturn. So we have three of the four transits of the day are kind of tricky, kind of, you know, lighting us up in some ways. So let's take a look at then what does the energy of Scorpio bring to us in this particular case? Well, the first word that always comes to my mind with Scorpio is going to be power, right? Power, our own personal power, how we empower ourselves, how we empower others, but also the power struggles that we get into, either with the people closest to us in our lives, and sometimes it's the people further away from us, and sometimes it is an internal power struggle that we come into contact with. And especially with the moon in the sign, it is likely an internal struggle that you might be going through and needing to really spend some time with yourself looking at what is going on. How is this pointing me in the direction of change? How is this helping me to release some baggage? Now, that's an interesting part of Scorpio, is that Scorpio energy likes to hold on to things. The first gate that the moon hits today in your human design is the gate 44. It is the last gate that planets hit on the transit through the spleen center. The spleen center is the center for time, intuition, health. It is also a place for survival. Its highest energy, in fact, is survival energy, or in some cases, you might say success, right? Living successfully or being able to put yourself out into the world successfully. But the gate 44 is a fear of the past repeating itself. So at the 44, we might resist going back into relationships because we're afraid that that relationship dynamic will reassert itself. We are afraid that if we get into a new relationship, perhaps that the same issues that have always dogged our relationships may be coming back. So the gate has a lot of fear about the past. And in that, because it is a Scorpio gate, is the need to release, to let go, right? And that is another big issue with Scorpio, the moon in Scorpio, helping us to release the baggage, or at the very least, recognize it and process it, and then coming through on the other side. Now, because the 44 itself is about releasing the baggage of the past, it allows us to move forward into integrity, being our true and authentic and loving selves. So it is an opportune moment to release that old stuff, but it is also an opportune moment to feel the weight of that, those issues, you know, rolling off your shoulders as an invitation to live more wholeheartedly, right? To live more from a space of love rather than a space of fear. Now, the moon will also move into the gate one today, and the gate one is the most young gate of human design, meaning it's the most pushing out energy in human design. And its energy is really about finding your life purpose, right? It really wants to go out, find what it is I'm here to do, and focus on that energy, right? But sometimes it can get caught up in the looking for the life purpose and doesn't live its life purpose, which living life purpose is really about living and doing what you love, right? So many times people in readings will ask me, well, what am I here to do? What, you know, what is my life purpose? Well, your life purpose is really what it is that you love to do, going out and sharing of yourself and what you love with the world. So, and of course, there are other things that come into play with that. But there isn't just one life purpose. Like, your life purpose isn't to go out and be a nurse or to be a teacher or to be a cop. Not, not going to happen, right? That's not a life purpose. A purpose is deeper than that. It's about what you desire. It's about what you want to share. It's about where your true brilliance and genius lies. That's your life purpose. And then later in the day, lucky enough for us, the moon will find herself in the gate 43, which is up on the Ajna, the point coming down toward the throat. And that is a gate of insight, inspiration, and breakthrough. So with the moon opposing Uranus, expect maybe some kind of an awakening. And then as the day goes on, that being fleshed out a bit and as a way to see more about how it is you're here to share your brilliance or your genius. I love that word too, with the world. Now, you know, Scorpio energy also has a lot to do with personal ambition, and that kind of dovetails quite nicely with the energies that we're feeling today. The personal drive that you have to go out into the world and to succeed. I mean, it is an energy that's really pushing outward in that sort of way. And what Scorpios can probably do better than a lot of the other signs is once they've got their weight behind something or they've got their word involved with something, they're really good at holding their own in that and persevering through whatever it is they need to persevere through to get to where they want to go and or to be who they want to be. So there's really good perseverant, enduring, tenacious energy available here. The emotional strength to stick with something, right? To go through those dark nights of the souls that Scorpio energy often takes us on through that trip, right? Because Mars is one of the rulers, right? We have to confront, and Pluto being one of the rulers, we have to transform. So the question we all might be asking ourselves today is, what inside of us do we need to confront and transform? Actually, not just today either, also tomorrow. We have the moon in this sign. So this Scorpion moon is really about transformation and change. And even though Scorpio is considered a fixed sign, it is always seemingly going through life transformations, whether they openly admit it and go for it on their own, or whether life puts them in positions where they can no longer tolerate where they are and they make changes. So they're always going through that powerful, transformative kind of change. And along that way, they amass a lot of interactions with people and experiences with people and experiences of themselves that require forgiveness. Forgiveness, a big theme here in the sign of Scorpio. And through forgiveness, that's a way of actually transmuting toxic emotions, right? Toxic experiences, toxic relationships, toxic on and on, right? How do we do that? We transmute. We start by forgiving ourselves and others, and then we walk ourselves through the process of letting that go and releasing the baggage, right? We cannot take that baggage with us because we use the baggage as fodder to feed our grievances or our emotional wounds when we get triggered once again, and life will trigger us again, right? It's part of being human that we get triggered. Now, this is also merging energy. Scorpio brings energies together. It's a powerful need for oneness. It is a powerful need for the sexual relationship that brings us together in bonding, right? Bonding energy. Death and rebirth are also a part of this energy as we merge either with spirit through death or we merge with birth through moving into this planet. Or it's not always that deep either. It's not always life or death. It can be merging through the releasing of something in order to be able to move through the rebirthing of something new. It's regenerative, in other words. We do have to watch out for a few things, though, with Scorpio energy. We've already talked about the need, the tendency to hold on to too much. But we also have to watch out for revenge. There's a part of Scorpionic energy that's really willing and ready and able to get back at people for the hurts that they perceive. Jealousy is another potent negative energy here in the sign of Scorpio. and resentment, which is a little less overt, right? We can hold on to these resentments against people for things that we perceive that they did to hurt us. We can hold on to resentment because of our perception that we aren't moving ahead. We didn't get what we wanted. We never get what we want, that kind of thing. Holding on to resentments become toxic emotions. Right? So toxic emotions are those things that must be transmuted in scorpionic energy. Holding on too long is another scorpionic issue, right? Staying stuck in the old stuff, right? Grievances or emotions or wounds or hurts or slights, things, jobs, relationships. There's a whole host of things that we might be tempted to hold on to too long with scorpionic energy. So the moon, our mothering energy moving through Scorpio, allows us to go in to confront those things that are inside that we are holding on to, or those resentments, etc., and to process them, right? To go through a process of forgiveness, to go through a process of releasing, etc. And Tom, yeah, exactly. Resentments, fears, guilt, beliefs, all of those things can come up. So Tina, good morning to you. Happy Monday, Nico says. And Tina says, we like to hold on to things. Tina, as a Scorpio, likes to hold on to things. Jealousy and resentment, old friends, etc. A lot of those things come very naturally as an experience for Scorpio. And there would be a reason for that, right? I'm not saying that, you know, that Scorpio part of ourselves is bad or not good or has a problem. It's not that. That Scorpio energy, and we all have Scorpio somewhere in our charts, so you're not immune. Somewhere, the moon is moving through Scorpio in your chart. The house that it's in is going to tell you the area of your life where you have a tendency to hold on, or where you might be triggered in resentment or jealousy, etc. But the purpose here is that Scorpio goes on a journey. It's a journey of transmutation or a journey of transformation where they're moving out of the more passive aggressive or sometimes outright aggressive energies of the scorpion and taking the position of the eagle, right? The eagle being able to see from the higher perspective. You know, where I live, we have tons of bald eagles right now. It's the time of year where they're here through February, I think, is where we have high bald eagle counts. And every tree around here has bald eagles in it. And it's never lost on me that from their position, 200, 150 feet up in the air at the top of these trees, they have a huge viewpoint. Scorpio has that same ability to move out of the very limited passive aggression of the scorpion into the eagle, and then ultimately into the phoenix energy, right? Dying to the old to be reborn to the new, right? So phoenix energy. So they, their purpose in the very powerful things that they go through is about going on that journey, right? The journey from the lowest to the highest, then to the regenerative. So definitely something that you can be aware of in your own life and in your own chart. All right, questions about that for anybody? Some of you are checking in a little bit late this morning, so you might not know what we were talking about. We were talking about the moon transiting through the sign of Scorpio, whose ruling planets are Mars and Pluto, and Mars and Pluto figure in quite largely in the week ahead. So let's move ahead and talk a little bit about what to expect as the week goes on. Of course, today was all about the moon and Scorpio. There isn't anything else for us to really concern ourselves with. It's that moon opposing Uranus, lightning aha moments, the square to Venus, where we might find ourselves struggling with our in our relationships or in our finances or in trying to assign value to ourselves or to things in our lives. The trine to Neptune, which is all about taking the higher road, right? The moral high ground, right? Seeing ourselves and everything else from that higher perspective, the perspective of the eagle, right? Rising to that level, the square to Saturn, which can cause us to come inward and to really look deeper at our limitations or where it is that we might need to be a little bit more forward looking in our lives, as he is in the sign of Aquarius. All right, tomorrow, void of course moon. Tomorrow, the moon from 6:28 my time in the morning until 9:34 a.m. So this is West Coast time. That means 9:28 to 12:34 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. The moon will be in the void, which means that is the beginning of our workday, both here on the coast, the West Coast, but also on the East Coast, you guys and everybody in between, at least here for the U.S., we are slowing down, right? The moon is kind of in a wandering place, and it doesn't give us the signal yet to move forward. So know that tomorrow morning in the day, maybe, you know, try to do things like clear off your desk, take care of things that were left over from the day before, but don't necessarily try to start new things at that moment when the moon is wandering like that. On Wednesday is probably one of the biggest days of the week because that is the day where Mercury turns direct. Hallelujah. It's been a crazy, wild Mercury direct. The sun also comes into a conjunction with Pluto. It is also the beginning of the new human design week, which is also the ending of the human design year, the last gate that we get, the last two gates with the sun and the earth that we go through before Sunday's human design new year. So it really begs the question, what are we closing out of? And also that Jupiter and Saturn change on Wednesday. Thursday, actually. So we have a lot going on. Thursday, I wrote breathe. Just breathe, right? Breathe. If there's nothing big going on Thursday, on the 20th, Thursday, that's Friday. So Friday's the 20th and Friday is the new moon in a, nope, Friday isn't the new moon. Friday is the day that the sun moves into Aquarius. And that is the day that both Jupiter and Saturn change gates in your human design. I'll break down the details on that in just a minute. And then Saturday is the new moon on the 21st at 1:33 of Aquarius, right? Nothing like the sun moving into a sign and immediately going into new. And really, that is a very powerful day. And we'll probably talk more about the new moon on Friday, but I'll maybe touch on it a little bit if I have some time this morning. So let's take a look at Wednesday then, the 18th, the day that the sun conjuncts Pluto and the day that Mercury goes direct. So remember I said in the beginning, the sun conjuncting Pluto is happening at the end of Capricorn, at about 28 degrees of Capricorn. So wherever Capricorn is in your chart is what you want to look at for where these change, these very powerful things are happening for you. That's the area of life that would be impacted by that. And of course, Mercury turning direct also in Capricorn, but at the other end of Capricorn. So the sun and moon will be conjunct at 28, or sun and Pluto, excuse me, will be conjunct at 28 Capricorn, while the Mercury direct happens at 8 degrees of Capricorn. So right off, what we have here on Wednesday is a trigger to a powerful change, perhaps, or a transformation that needs to happen in our lives. And of course, the nature of that will be revealed to us over time. Pluto is not Uranus, right? Uranus is going to do things very quickly. It awakens us. It wants us to be free. It's a liberator, right? And that happens very quickly. With Pluto, there's definite pressure to transform. So we might be feeling the pressure to put something new out into the world or to take that next step, to release ourselves from something going on in our lives, to release ourselves in a way that allows us, right? Sometimes we can't go forward until we let go of what's behind us. So that is the big trigger when the sun comes into the conjunction with Pluto. Now, all planets come into conjunctions with each other at some time or another, and it begins a new cycle, right? That's the whole idea of the conjunction. These two blend their energies. So we are blending the light of the sun, the force of our personality, the force of our evolution, and with the energy of Pluto, the great transformer, but also the great empowering principle of all of the planets. So you can see how that can make for a very powerful day. And it can be powerful in a disempowering way, right? It could be our recognizing where we've become disempowered, where we've become lackadaisical, where we've become lazy, and or where it is that we are starting to see our true power and worth. And the drive then really takes place for us to start moving forward. Remember, this is Capricorn that this is happening in, and Capricorn is a sign of drive and ambition. It is also a sign ruled by Saturn. So we've got a Saturn in the mix, and Saturn is the sign that says, do your work. You have to do something, right? You have to take steps. You have to have a goal. You have to have a plan, and then you have to work the plan. Even if the plan, you know, changes as time goes on, that part Saturn doesn't have a problem with. Saturn has a problem when we sit back and we do nothing, or we whine about what we can't seem to do, or we fall into victim states, right? Where, you know, every time I try to do something, it blows up on me and I whine, right? So Saturn, no whiners. So we want to be powerful in this, right? We want to discover what the unconscious things are that are going on that are holding us back, that are propelling us forward, right? Because if you don't know what your ambitions are or why you have those ambitions, it can just be spinning of the wheels, right? Why am I doing what I'm doing? That's a great question for us to ask. What are your motivations? What are your internal motivations? And what are you trying to accomplish, right? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I want to do what I want to do? What is it? What's the bang for my buck? Because if you're not clear on that, even if you're not clear on the why am I doing what I'm doing, then it's hard to actually connect fully with what you're doing. Right? Why am I doing all of this? Because I want to help people learn more about themselves. That's a why, right? That gives you the energy to keep doing the what. So there's an intensity about the Sun conjunct Pluto that is mysterious. It might be compelling. It might be expressed as our drive for achievement. We might feel like, yeah, we've got this motivation now, let's move. This could be signaling a good time for a deep dive, right? Going into yourself, going into those unconscious motivations, right? And bringing them into consciousness. It's a good time to bring more conscious awareness to everything that you are doing in your life. Research, right? Maybe that you've had this idea, this desire to start a business. Maybe it's a time to go do a deep dive and look at what that needs to do, what you need to do in order to do that. What do you have to have set up in order to do that? It's a time to muck out. You know how if you have horses, you have to muck out their stalls. It's a time for us to do a personal muck out, right? Mucking out all of the old beliefs, all of the yuckies, the winter doldrums, your grievances, all of that good stuff. Again, a baggage releasing, as Pluto is one of the very powerful planets involved with the sign of Scorpio. The dark side, right? This is, you know, so many times we are afraid to dive into the darker energies. Now, in some cases, through some epics in history, it's been about the occult, being afraid to dive into the things that we find scary, like, you know, divination or tarot cards or, you know, lots of things that people throughout history have had this fear about. But sometimes we are also afraid to dive into our own darker sides, right? Which might be something about our motivations. Maybe we're motivated by jealousy. And if we're motivated by jealousy, could that be why it is we're not finding ourselves moving ahead very fast? So being able to look at the darker energies within, right, that might be stopping you from really being more authentic. Capricorn rules the 10th house of the natural wheel of the astrology chart, the astrology wheel. So it is a place that's very visible to the world. It is a place of your authenticity and your authority. So if you have things that are standing in the way of you being in your own authority, the Sun conjunct Pluto gives you the opportunity to recognize them, to deal with them, to release them if necessary, or to build upon them if it is something that you discover that's very positive. Now, Mercury turning direct at the other end is a different kind of story in that Mercury is the planet that drives our thinking and our words, right? Speaking and communication. It's also a sign of being able to travel forward. When he's stalled or when he's in retrograde, we find it difficult to say what we want to say. We find it difficult to do or go forward in anything, mostly because he's given us the time to reinvent or to reimagine or to reinventory ourselves and where we are and what we're doing. And now with his turning direct, it is our ability now to move that forward again in Capricorn, right? Capricorn. So where's Capricorn in your natal chart? That is what you need to know, because that is where this energy is propelling you forward. All right. Questions about any of this? Let me know if you have a question. You can type that into the chat and I will see that. There was something else I wanted to say about Mercury. Okay. Mercury moving direct now takes us one step closer to all of the planets being in forward motion. So the last planet to go forward is Uranus, and he will do that this upcoming Sunday. I meant to check what time he was doing that, because I was hoping it was going to be when we're awake, 1:03 p.m. Pacific time. So that'll be what, 4:03 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast. And Uranus moving direct starts to take those changes that we've been feeling, that need, that feeling of freedom that we've wanted. And now we can take it and put it out into the world. And it'll be the last planet to change into forward motion for a short time. A few months now, we'll have all the planets, all the known planets in our solar system, not taking into effect the goddesses or Chiron. The main planets will all be in forward motion, giving us sort of that green light, the green flag, if you will, to move forward in all things. But planets don't turn direct on a dime, right? They don't just say, oh, okay, I'm now direct. I'm going to go forward with, you know, racing. They take some time, right? It takes some time. So things may still feel a little bit stalled, giving us time to consider, to contemplate the direction that we want to move in. What is opening up for us? What seems to be the next best step for us to take? So don't think that it's like all of a sudden you're going to be able to race. It's not like the gates open on the racehorse and you run. It's more like the gates open and we begin the process of moving ourselves forward. It might take a few days. And in the case of Uranus, a couple of weeks to start to really gain momentum in that forward motion. And remember, Mars last week turned direct. And let's see, today, where is our friend Mars? He is at 8 degrees 13 minutes of Gemini. He turned direct at 8 minutes 9 seconds, or 8 degrees 9 minutes. So he's only moved like 3 minutes, right? He's not moving fast at all. So we're just starting the ramp up to the, it's like a locomotive, right? They take their time to get some energy, to get that, to overcome inertia. So that's a part of our experience as well. We're overcoming inertia. And overcoming inertia means we have energy that we have to input into it, right? So what are we willing to put into what it is that we need to do? Well, what stands between us right now is the need to go into that deep dive, right? To look at what it is that we need to do in order to get to where we want to go. Good morning, honey. She says, when I get married, 420, when I get, I don't know what you're asking me, sweetie. So, but I see you got married on April 23rd, 1988. Been with that person for a long time. Patricia, good morning to you. She said, is the fifth house the house for fun and play? And yes, it is. It's the house for fun and play and games and vacation and recreation. Love and romance are also a part of that. Creativity, the expressions of joy, self-expression. It is also a house of risk-taking, right? Where we need to step a little bit out of our comfort zone. I always think of it as calculated risks that we take in the fifth house. Not risky behavior like, you know, Evel Knievel trying to jump over the Snake River, but slowly anticipating what it is, the bang for our buck, what are we willing to let go of or lose if the worst happens, that kind of risky things, right? But still moving forward with taking that risk. Now, the 12th house meaning is a little bit more obscure. In fact, that's a good word for the 12th house, obscurity. It's the dark, right? It's the part of us we don't see clearly. And it is also the things that happen in our lives that we don't understand clearly. It could be where limitation is. It could be where blocks and restrictions and fear all come together to hold us back in some way, to keep our divineness under wraps, if you will. It is a house of prisons, literal prisons, possibly, but also the prisons of our own thinking, of our own minds, right? Where we've got this key around our necks that we could unlock all of the planet energy that's in there. But we actually have to understand that we hold the key, that we're not going to find it outside of ourselves, that it's inside of ourselves, that we can clear these fears, these blocks, these limitations, the unconsciousness, right? Because truly it is a place of the divine. And it is showing us all of the different things that are covering up your divineness, right? So, oh no, Debbie, no vacation for you. Maybe you could take a staycation, do something rather than a cruise. Maybe, you know, go places near where you live that you haven't been to in a long time. Good morning, Kristen Page. She says, with all the planets going direct, does that include Pluto? Exactly right. Pluto is in direct motion, and he has been actually. So he is moving forward toward his rendezvous with 0 degrees Aquarius in March, March 23rd to be exact. So all of them, with the exception right today of Mercury and Uranus, are moving forward. And then they will join the pack here very shortly. But again, like I said, some of the asteroids and let's see, is Chiron, where are you, Chiron? Where's Aries in this chart? Chiron is even direct. So it might be some of the, and Eris is direct. Sedna is not direct. So Pallas Athena is not direct. So a couple, like I said, of the goddesses or the goddess asteroids are not direct, but for the pantheon of planets that we really have focused on in our astrology charts, everything is getting ready to go, right? Go forward. All right. Great questions. Thank you. Patricia says, wow, I have Mars and Uranus in the 12th house. OMG. So the question then becomes, I don't know what sign that is. For you. I don't know how old you are, so I couldn't tell you, but tell me what sign that is for you. Could be Virgo. It's hard to say, but what you need to do is look at what are you holding on to, right? Freedom is a big deal here for that 12th house for you, as well as the theme of taking action. But there could be a lot of conflict and confrontation locked up in there that stalls that liberation or stalls that freedom. There could be a lot of fear that stops you from taking those next steps. So again, we have to look at the whole picture, right? And that's hard to do, you know, with a person as I'm talking to you here, but in a situation where we're doing a reading together, then I can see that so much closer. Okay, Eris went forward. Any thoughts on that? Eris is not forward. She is, oh no, she is. Excuse me, it was Sedna that is not forward. As far as Eris is going to play a role in the new moon on Saturday. So we'll talk about her more on Friday. But she is the place where we have intolerances that need to be addressed. She brings up discord. She has been super effective in, at least here in the U.S., but I would imagine in all countries around the world, of showing us our own shadows, right? Of really bringing up the parts of ourselves where we're not really playing to our strengths, where we are still marginalizing people or groups, right? So whether it's race or whether it's sex or whether it's belief systems, we're marginalizing people. And it should be interesting to see how she plays into the new moon, as one of the things that she's really good at is throwing out the apple of discord, right? And causing us to have to deal with those things. And of course, our first gut check response or reaction is to feed into the frenzy or to feed into the conflict rather than to stay back a bit and observe, but also then to be very conscious about what we do next. Fun stuff, right? Eris. So she's one of the dark goddesses. She reminds me of the saying, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, right? So yeah, kind of the Tasmanian devil of the of all the pantheon of women there. Okay, let's take a look at our January 17th through 21st, the last week of the human design year, and what it is that we can learn about ourselves during this time. So the 17th is tomorrow. So we begin the week with the sun at the gate 60. And the gate 60 is a gate that sits on, let me see, do I have my copy of my chart or a chart? Yes, the 60 sits right here on the root center, right in the middle. There's your gate 60. And it is on a center that is really about evolution, right? How do we move forward? And it has a lot of pressure to push us outward into the world. And the 60 says, go with gratitude. The gate 60 says, go by letting go. Right? It says, go in the right timing. And it says, go with a solution. And it says, go by exploring with an open mind, right? Those are kind of the keynotes that we'll see for the week ahead. So in a quantum human design, it is called the gate of conservatism. And in traditional human design, it was called the gate of acceptance. In the gene keys, it takes on a really interesting energy in that it is, in its highest expression, justice. In its gift expression, it is realism. And in its lowest expression, or the shadow expression, it is limitation, where we hold ourselves back into certain limits. And in the shadow energy, indeed, what we see is that we're stuck, right? We stay stuck. We don't allow for growth. We get too caught up in being conservative, that conservative turns into being stuck. Or we find ourselves fighting for the old and not allowing for the new, or even to the point where we have disdain for the new, for the untried, for moving forward. So it is a real problem with paralysis and resistance when the sun is at this gate. And when it's in the shadow. So it's an invitation for us to check on ourselves, right? Where are you staying stuck? Where are you not allowing for growth? Where do you have disdain for new things as opposed to going, you know, with the flow of energy that's moving you forward? Where do you find yourself in that sort of paralysis energy or that resistance to change kind of energy? I don't believe that any one of us is going to be allowed to stay stuck. You might feel like you're stuck, but I guarantee you with Pluto empowering movement forward by his conjunction with the sun and with the other two planets that are left to go direct from their retrograde, we are sort of being pushed, you know, pushed along into the new. Now, in the gift level of this, really, it's about being resourceful. Conservatism isn't about bringing things into contraction. It's really about being resourceful with what you have, right? And not letting the fear of losing everything cause you to become stingy or cause you to, you know, come into an overwhelm feeling where I have to hold on to everything. So the biggest gift here is about using your resources wisely. And in the highest expression of the energy of the sun, at the gate 60, it's about the blessings, finding the blessings in change, finding the blessings inherent in this transformational energy, being optimistic, right? Being optimistic, seeing the bigger picture maybe, or just instilling hope and faith that everything is going to work out as it should and work out for the best of all involved. And then focus on what's working. Don't focus on what's not working. Focus on that rather than what isn't working so that because whatever we focus on, we make bigger, we enlarge, right? We bring more energy to it. So focus on what's working, not what isn't working. Now, the earth always throws down the challenge, right? If we want to get to the highest and best of Gate 60, which is about being resourceful and finding the blessings and change and transformation, we are going to have to address the Gate 56 in the earth. And that is about challenging us to change our stories, right? The Gate 56 is on the throat center. It is the gate of the storyteller. And instead of sharing stories that have shut us down, instead of sharing stories of the pain, of the wound, of the tragedies, share what is expansive and what is possibility oriented. Instead, right? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be aware that we've lived through these tragedies or that we've had these, you know, bumps along the way. I'm not saying, you know, ignore those. I'm saying, what about that changed your life direction? What about that bump? What about that problem? What about that tragedy? What about that challenge leads you to something new, right? What updates you in some way or brings you into expansion? The Gate 56 is called the Gate of Expansion, right? In a quantum human design, and the Gate of the Storyteller in traditional human design. So here we have an interesting dichotomy, right? We have the earth in a gate that is really about being taking an expansive point of view. And then we also have the sun saying, let's be conservative. So we have, you know, this moderating influence. But the biggest thing here is to not go into fear and to also not carry on the negative stories without seeing what those blessings are. And then using gratitude and forgiveness and all of the tools that we have, generosity and just love energy to be able to overcome anything that might be showing up. Now, we all tell stories. Check your stories at the door and make sure, because it's on the throat center, that to share the stories, you need an invitation, right? You must be invited to share the stories, or else it falls on deaf ears, or people just turn you off, right? They just like, I've heard this before, mom. I don't want to hear it again, kind of thing. So have the invitation to share the story. This is also teacher energy. What is it you want to teach through your stories, right? Having a reason to look for the optimism, to look at the bigger context, even of a tragedy or a grievance or something like that. Now, on the 20th, which is Friday, in the same time that the sun is changing signs out of Capricorn and into Aquarius, we have Jupiter, the planet of optimism, the planet of growth and expansion, the planet of pushing boundaries, right? Seeing the bigger picture, changing gates. So we're talking human design now. He has been at the gate 25, which is a gate that is on the identity center, the center for love and direction. And the love and direction he's been giving us is to find a much more spiritual center in everything that we do, in everything that we are. Right? Being the embodied divine. And now he's going to be moving up to the Ajna at the gate 17. Now the 17 is an interesting gate. In quantum human design, it is the gate of anticipation, right? Where we're anticipating a result, or we're seeing into the future. In the gene keys, this is the gate of omniscience, right? Being able to see from the all-seeing eye, if you will, what all of the odds are about how something is going to play out. In more traditional human design, this is called the gate of opinions. And what we see here is an energy that is very logical. This is logic. This is one of the ways of knowing in human design, logic. It's only one of three, right? There's logic, there's knowingness, and there's intuition. And the logic here is about testing, right? Testing. It's the also partly involved with the scientific method, where we have a hypothesis, right? Where we have this inkling that something is true, but we can't prove it yet. So it lies in the field of opinion until it has proof. So we have to learn here in this energy to wait to share our thoughts and our ideas and our inspirations until we're invited to share them, or because they may not be tried and true yet. It might be opinion. And opinions are opinions. Everybody has an opinion, right? Everybody, you are all sitting there with opinions about what I'm saying, about how this pertains to you. Does that make it true, right? Does that make it true? No, not until it's been tested. So opinions are things that we don't necessarily want to throw out there unless we are invited to do so. Now, some of you might be invited to do so because you have a defined throat and it's just a part of who you are. Like J-Lo, you're saying that it's your pearl. So, you know, this is, you are someone who is designed by birth to speak to what you see out there. But as long as you're allowing people to understand that this, in my opinion, right, in my opinion, this is what this means. In my opinion, this might be a direction that you could move in. For those of us who have an open throat center, meaning it would be white in your human design chart, it is a gate then that would need to wait for the invitation, literal or figurative, right? Literal invitation is, I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me your opinion of what I'm doing or of this opportunity or this color I'm wearing. And on the other side is I can question to want to be able to, I can question you so that I can bring out some information. For example, I might say, is it okay if I share with you what I'm thinking about this project? And then waiting for that person to say, yeah, I want to hear it, or no, you know, another time. Because an open throat will waste a lot of energy speaking when they're not, when nobody's ready to hear what you have to say. So this can be an energy with Jupiter that's going to turn us around to be heard in the right way with the right things, or it can be very frustrating for us if we're trying to get heard and we're not being heard. So we'll be watching for that as Jupiter is causing us to evolve, right? This is how we evolve. And one way that we can evolve is by using our opinions correctly and understanding that they're opinions, not truths, right? They haven't been born out yet as truths. Now, Saturn on the same day, how interesting, right? Jupiter and Saturn on the very same day, changing gates. Saturn will move out of the gate 49, where he's been creating revolution, into another red flag gate in your human design called the gate 30, the gate of passion in quantum human design, and the gate of desire in traditional human design. Either way you look at it, a planet like Saturn moving to this gate puts a lot of energy out there for us to find what it is that we love. But it can also be the potential for burnout. So those of you who are manifestors, projectors, and reflectors, you're going to want to be very careful that you're monitoring your energy, because Saturn here is going to want us to go out into the big splash, right? Now, Saturn himself is like, let's do this in a very planned way. But the gate 30 can be so excitable and have such passion that it can spill over outside of what is usual or what is proportional, what is prudent. So we have to, it's really kind of contagious enthusiasm here at the gate 30, contagious passion. Right. So what we're passionate about, you know, can spill out to others in a very easy way. But then we can also take it too far. And if we are taking it too far, it leads to burnout in a very massive way. The gate 30 actually sits on the emotional center. And the emotional center, hold on. The emotional center is the center for emotions. Of course, it's called the solar plexus center. But it is also the center for creative energy. So we have a lot of creative energy sitting here ready to bust out, right? A lot of it. And our wings have been clipped since way back in October when Mars turned to retrograde. So we've been sort of in, and at that point, there were a lot of planets in retrograde, six of them, I believe. So we've felt very stymied in our ability to express our passion. And we've been told by me and other people, you know, hold on to this, reimagine, do all the back behind the scenes work. And so we're chomping at that bit, right? We're ready to really bust out and to share. And it's been hard, right? It's been really hard to hold ourselves back while also preparing for this moment in time that we are about to embark on. And it's not actually on Friday that we are ready to do this. You know, we still are kind of slowly moving in. So be careful, check yourself a bit that your passion doesn't get carried away with you. Saturn will be here for a little while before he moves on to another gate. So we'll have time to really consider, am I aligned with my passion? Am I aligned with what I love? Am I creating from what I love or from a fear that I won't get what I want or a fear of, you know, any fear, name your fear. So it'll be really important, but to know that this energy really ramps up all of the energies of the chart, of everyone's chart at this point in time, not just the people who were born with it, but every one of us now will have this energy ramped up and will be wanting to jump out there, you know, out that gate and to be able to express who we are. And carefully, because that energy is way down in the emotional center. Oh, I was going to tell you about the emotional center and timing. So the emotional center is an awareness center, but it is also a motor. It has energy associated with it and a flow. And that flow is from the hot, from the low to the high and back to the low, kind of like waves, right? Where we build and then we drop and then we get into that, you know, bottom and then we move back up. So timing becomes very important in the emotional center. So when you have the gate 30, which is all passion all the time, you might ignore timing. You might be acting at the lower end of the wave rather than the higher end of the wave, or from even neutrality, right? We really do want to act from neutral, not necessarily from high or low. But if you're acting too much from low, it can lead us to feel melancholic or even feel depressed because nobody values what we're doing, or all that passion, you know, that, you know, it's like the flame, the match burned down and burnt our fingers, right? If we don't create a way to sustain that kind of passion. And the way we sustain that passion is we enter into it correctly in the right timing and we go with the wave, right? We allow the wave. We don't keep pushing, forcing that river, right? We allow ourselves to go with that flow. That's really hard when you have something contagious that you really want to share with people, but it might not yet be the right timing. So if you guys have questions about that, it's probably time for you to have your own human design reading. You can go to my website, www.living-astrology.com, and find out the different types of readings that are available to you. All right. Now, I had a request on Sunday that I do a card for the collective. So let's see. I see a deck right on top here that I think would be a good one. It's the Oracle of the Seven Energies by Colette Baron Reed. So let's draw one of these babies. We haven't done this one in a bit. And this will be a card for the collective as we move forward in this week. I don't see any other questions out there. If you guys have questions, you can always email them to me as well at janet@living-astrology.com. Oh, so the card I drew for us is called Smoke and Mirrors. It is card 42, Smoke and Mirrors. Ooh, seeing something straight, right? Let's see. So card 42 is... key concepts are seeing through the lens of past conditioning, the inability to recognize the truth of what is being offered, healing from misguided perceptions, moving beyond the illusion of separation, being accountable for your biases and the way you view the world. We're actually built to view the world inaccurately. Our five senses tell us we are separate from one another. We're conditioned to see time as linear. This creates a consciousness of delineation, separation, and finality. We have an innate fear that what we see is all there is. Although we know deep down there is more, we are suspicious of it. Our fear of death results from this kind of perception. This is so Scorpio. It's so amazing. So Pluto as well. The entire world is a construct of smoke and mirrors, and our job is to discover the truth that lies beyond this illusion. Discoveries at the frontiers of science align with what the ancients have known. At the atomic level, we are blinking lights and empty space. Consciousness is fundamental. Time can be bent, and we are eternal. Ask yourself if what you see is really just what you're looking for. What do you sense beyond your intellectual assessment of what is? Can you drop into your heart and soul and call for a vision, a feeling, an awareness of the true and authentic? Every day, remind yourself that you are intrinsically connected to all life. The universe needs you to learn about it. You have within you extraordinary magic with which to co-create life beyond your wildest expectations. Today, trust the inner voice that reminds you that you truly will find what you seek and more, even if outer conditions appear to challenge that. It's all smoke and mirrors. Things are not exactly as they seem. Cool card. Very cool card. Smoke and mirrors. Card 42, which by the way is a six, which may intimate that we need to bring in some kind of balance in our lives or harmonize these different aspects of ourselves. All right. J-Lo, final comment says, so funny. I was going to ask something, then said, wait until the end and you can ask the question in comments. There goes my Chiron for some confirmation. 42.5 to help everyone with the question. That's a good one. That's the 42 is really all about celebration of an ending, right? Let's celebrate the ending. So in that spirit, let me bring my show to a close this morning. Let me remind you that the Astrology of 2023 reading is still available through the end of this month. If you have not had your reading yet, you can even schedule up to the 31st, even if that means the reading, of course, would be in February. But I will take it down on January 31st. It won't be available anymore. So it is an $89 reading and gives you insight into your chart for 2023. So it's a big look at everything that is going on. Thank you all for joining me this morning. Take care. I'll see you on Friday where we will chat about the new moon. Take care.